Street Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Segre, this is your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Street Chess Motherfucking Podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go. It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What it good be? Hoping you want to ship it. It's your boy N.O.R.E.
What up? It's DJ EFN.
And it's Drink Champs motherfucking happy hour. Make some noise! And I don't know if you know, but interviewing producers is probably one of my favorite things to do. It's because the producers not only have the story of the song, they have the story of the making of the song.
Behind the scenes.
So if you guys don't know who I'm talking about right now, when you think of Missy Elliott, you think of Aaliyah, you think of Genuine, you think of there's so many different artists who've took artists and made them great from the sounds of his thing. I heard that he used to make beats through beatbox. Mm-hmm. I heard he has so many people's careers in his hands. He's come from Virginia. He has stayed in this time relevant well over 20 years. And been kicking people's ass and staying here, doing what the fuck he gotta do. In case you don't know who the fuck I'm talking about, we talking about Timbaland. Make some noise! Now, Timbaland. This is a hip hop historic show. So we wanna take it from the very beginning. How did you get your start? Because I heard somewhere that you was a beatboxer at first.
Yeah.
Prior to you actually making beats. So how did you even start beatboxing?
I think it was a contest. It was back in Virginia, this place called Stars, if I can remember. Mm-hmm. And I was a beatboxer and I always thought it was, okay. Mm-hmm. But then my main passion back then was DJing. Mm-hmm. And how I got into making beats is the music. You know, every season, you got a drought season where it's just like, it just, the music you ain't liking, you ain't feeling. So right. I'm like, let me just make a beat. And then my mom brought this Casio keyboard. It only can stop for 1 second. So let me try to make it a beat so I can blend my records to. You know what I'm saying? So you had to be very creative back then. And
were you already sampling your beatboxing at that point?
I didn't sample my beatbox.
Because you started doing that.
I didn't sample my beatbox until I got introduced to a studio. You know what I'm saying? And then, really when I got introduced to a sampler that can sample longer than a second.
Right.
So then it got to the point where I got a EPS, something like that, a keyboard where it can sample up to 16 seconds. So that kind of gave me,
right,
from 1 second, 16 seconds back then was
like 16 minutes. Back then, yeah, for sure.
So I just took what I had and I was just passionate about sounds. I love noise.
All right. Now we recently had Marley Marl on here, right?
Oh, and
Marley,
he was the best.
And Marley Marl alluded to kind of making the new jack swing.
Yeah, he did. No, he more than alluded to that.
So he kind of, and it made me think of Teddy Riley immediately. Right. And I know Teddy Riley's relationship to Virginia. What do you think when you hear a person like Marley Marl say that he might have been the first person to start new jack swing?
I would say he's correct.
No way! No.
I would say he's almost correct because when you listen to Lean On Me, like all the Big Daddy Kane, all the Marley Marl stuff that he did, Big Daddy Kane, he gave a lot of different bounces. Like, was it Raw? Raw was kind of like the introduction to the new jack swing sound.
Right.
And Teddy just took it and enhanced it and modified it more.
Mm. Mm.
But he kind of introduced that.
Because Teddy did produce the show. Mm-hmm. With Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick.
Teddy Riley?
Yeah, he did.
Teddy Riley.
I did not
produced,
know that.
Yes, Teddy Riley produced
that.
Yeah. Look at Norman with the head on his tree. God damn it.
Yeah.
God damn it. Go ahead. Now, what does Teddy Riley mean to Virginia? Because I guess that was like
it's more about what he mean to New York. He just moved to Virginia from New York. So it was almost like some New Jack City Nino Brown moving into Virginia.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But he was from New York, so it was like Virginia was like, we getting this big time producer from New York. Like, mm-hmm. we was more excited about that.
Right. Because you know? He was already,
I mean, he was already big, yeah. Because, okay. like, I thought you might have knew him from New York, like, yeah. from Guy days. Right, like, right. he was in New York. So, right. it was like, we knew. Right. But I guess New York wasn't, like, on it. Like, but we knew in Virginia, like, who, because it was Guy. It was Teddy Riley. Like, right. and he was coming to Virginia. So, yeah. it was like, whoa.
Where were those dudes from Rex and Effect from?
They was from New York.
They were from New York.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Oh.
I thought they were from Virginia.
They just moved to Virginia.
Oh man, definitely didn't know that.
Did y'all have any animosity towards New York dudes moving there?
Nah,
it was almost like we did have a little animosity.
Nah, it was exciting. You know what I'm saying? Because we Commonwealth and. Getting somebody from the city.
Boys getting locked up immediately,
yeah.
huh? Coming
yeah,
up.
It was as cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't no jealousy back
like
then.
Like hip-hop royalty type of Commonwealth
It was
thing
more like, that's Teddy Riley.
Right, right, right.
I guess what people do today, but in a different form back then.
Right.
Did you be influenced by the New Jack Swing?
I think I wasn't influenced by the swing. I was influenced by the sonics of the swing.
Mm.
Meaning the sound, how it sounded so crisp. Like, how did he make what's once a James Brown bounce from Funky Drummer? That's like Funky Drummer. Then he took it and enhanced it and made it more modern.
So let's be clear, because not everybody knows the definition of what New Jack Swing was.
That's right. You got to be a real hip-hop
story. What is it to you? What made it New Jack Swing?
The swing. That's why he had to say, I don't know why they put New Jack right. to give it a slang, I think, but it was a swing. Right. When James Brown did Funky Drummer, that was a swing. Mm. That's why, if you think about it, when you go back and listen to Funky Drummer, James Brown will do nothing on that
record. But it was the timing of
yeah,
the drums?
Yeah, it was a different, like a, he's like, hit it, Funky. Right. He was hitting the pockets to make people, to make the masses get it.
Right.
So he didn't. He let you think about it. Go back and listen to that record, Funky Drummer. I just could imagine them two in the studio, right? And it's like he walk in the studio. Bobby, you know, I'm just thinking like James Brown. So James Brown walk in the studio, and the drummer, he like, hey, fuck. Yeah. And that's all he do on the record is ad lib.
Right.
So when you think about music today is like, it's all about that feeling. And that swing back then was like a new swing that made him do that. So when you talk about Teddy Riley, I'm Jake. So they found how to write in those pockets of that swing.
Right.
So that was like a faster swing than most songs from like boom, 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 boom. That was boom. So it's like, that's making the, how do you make a person do this without being corny? You know what I'm saying? So that's like a whole different swing.
Now we have Pusha T on here, and Pusha T told us that you, Pharrell, and No Malice went to the same school.
The hip hop school.
And was Missy in that school too? Or
no, she was from another town, Portsmouth.
Okay, so hold on. I just need to understand this school. And were y'all in the same class?
No. It was like, you know, it's just, I think it's just like anything of today. Now, when I look back and I look at music up today, I'm like, man, it's the same way. Right. And you don't see it until you get older. Right. And you'd be like, it's no different. You know, God put people together with the same kind of brilliant minds. And, you know, you connect. You know, it's like y'all two connected. Mm-hmm. He from New York, you from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And right. people are going to be like, it's going to be some other kids. Right. Be like, how the freak? You'd be like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it's just, it's just supposed to be. And Pharrell was always Pharrell. When I look at Pharrell, it's nothing changed about him from what I know.
Same
him.
Dude.
Same guy.
So how did you meet Missy? How did
Missy actually, a friend of mine introduced me to Missy, told Missy that she needed to meet me. And Missy came to my house and started doing music. She like, oh man.
And you was an artist?
No, I was just doing beats, and she the one that I was just doing music, and she like, he make dope beats. And I was like, she introduced me to singing over hip hop beats.
Mm.
And when she was singing, I'm like, I ain't never heard that before. Like, I never heard melodies over the music I was making. And she introduced my ears to some, like, new candy. You know what I'm saying?
Before you heard, like, Mary J.
Yeah, she the one, like, it was because of her, she introduced me to singing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was more Mantronics, Tribe Called Quest. We was fanatics of Tribe Called Quest. You know what I'm saying? So
who'd you meet first? Missy, Aaliyah, Pharrell,
God had us. It's like,
I feel like you speeding right now, man. Like,
I know, because I'm just saying.
A lot of stories that I want to hear. Honest, between all this,
you know why Virginia's history is so rich, and a lot of people don't know
it's
that.
It's hip hop history. Like,
it's real hip hop history. Yeah. So, like, who was the first one that you met that wasn't a star at the time, but later on you realized is a star?
You know what? I think we just love music. I think when you love something. Mm. It's gonna take you what you. It's gonna make you who you are. Like, right. Think about it. When you made what? Mm-hmm. What was it? Mm-hmm. You didn't know. Mm-hmm. You just know the feeling of like, mm-hmm. I know this feels big for me.
Right.
And you know, I think that nobody knew who was gonna be a star. We just loved music, and we was dedicated through thick and thin. I think that's what makes. And then music, once you love it, it'll determine where your place should be. In it, you know what I'm saying? I felt like Virginia connected all of us, and we was the chosen ones out of that batch of probably that Commonwealth area. I look at it like lottery ticket, you know what I'm saying? Who gonna be the lottery person, you know what I'm saying? And Virginia was a part of history. It was some place that people never expected. Now look what we advanced to. Toronto, Cleveland. Now we like, you know, it's. But we was like the first of the Mohicans being from Commonwealth, and
Virginia, it was kind of weird for us because y'all was like East Coast.
Yeah, it was weird
it
for
was,
y'all.
It was like
the East Coast. Mad skills.
Yeah, kind
of
started.
One of the first artists that I heard from Virginia that was killing it.
Right, and for us,
and see,
it was
I was
weird.
Gonna say him. He was the first.
Yeah,
but I'm not gonna say like. You know, everybody to be a star, you know, like that's up to music. But he loved music, you know what I'm saying? And he did do a lot of successful things that put Virginia on the map.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was a part of that whole chemistry. Like, he was the one who kind of like jumped out first to me.
What was the first major record that came from Virginia where we was like, yo, you was like, we got something now?
Oh,
was
we never knew we had nothing.
No, get out of here. Come on.
We just wanted
you're being
to
be modest right now.
No, I'm being honest. I'm going to tell you, like, it was, come on, man. Look, man, have you seen Hustle and Flow?
Yes, I did.
Okay, like, when you look at Hustle and Flow,
that's
bro, you just trying to.
That ain't Memphis?
No, that's Memphis.
Think about it. Like, bro, you ain't thinking about no what's a hit. Right. You thinking about, I'm trying to get out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we weren't thinking like, you know, this is a hit. Mm. We was more like, we getting recognized more than anything. You know what I'm saying? We getting a job. We getting out. Our passion is getting looked at. It's not taken for granted. And I think that was the beauty of us, because we put in a lot of work and our work was accepted. You know what I'm saying? I think everybody wants that on earth, wants to be accepted.
What was the first record you worked on and you was like, this is it for you? Because all of us does it for a hobby at first, right? All of us, we love music. And most of us would still do it if we wasn't getting paid or not, but we wouldn't do it as much as we would. But what was the first record where you did and you was like, this is it, I'm done. I'm a bury myself with this. And
I don't think it's no record, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm always trying to outdo myself.
Okay.
I'm trying to say, I feel like I'm just beginning because.
Yeah, you may not have made that record yet.
And I feel, and you're right. And the reason I feel like that, I watched the Quincy Jones documentary twice.
I ain't watched it yet. Go ahead, please. School me.
I'm nowhere near close.
Because he said his second life was at 45 or something like that.
I'm nowhere near close. But the thing is, we look at the times we're in.
Right.
So I look at what I've done in the past.
Right.
Was a great. It was like my first Harry Potter book. So now I need to create the next chapter. So
hold up 1 second, Haz. Let's see what the homies at Spotify got going on. Amy Schumer presents Three Girls, One Keith. Let you be a fly on comedy's filthiest wall. Each week, Amy joins her friends and fellow comedians Bridget Everett, Rachel Feinstein, and Keith Robinson for candid conversations about sex, culture, and stand-up comedy. It's your typical hard-hitting educational roundtable, except with reoccurring segments like, okay, now I'm horny. With the help of songs, games, and special guests, Amy and her friends explore their very singular, very NSFW perspectives on the world. Get your mind into the gutter with comedy's greatest girl gang, plus Keith, of course. Stream the all-new second season of Amy Schumer's Presents Three Girls, One Keith, now on Spotify.
This chapter ain't as easy as those because once I mastered how to get in the door, I knew how to keep it. You know, I know how to keep jabbing. Mm. And then Switch came, he had his run, and then it's like, I gotta say, okay, let me come back. I gotta figure out how to, because he switched the whole swing. It was harder back then, but it's, I say back then was a more challenge that I was, I was ready for. Mm. This era where I'm facing, where I say I'm just beginning, it's just like, when you look at Quincy Jones, man, he went from Frank Sinatra to this. It's just a challenge, and I feel like I'm just starting because this era of music is totally different from what I'm used to. Right. So, but it's not, but it's music, and I love music, so I feel like I'm just, and the way technology is, I'm just starting to crack the code because I couldn't do what I can do now back then. I had to really go put in a lot of work to get a lot of those sounds, and now all of that is available to me in a laptop.
Oh yeah, it's different now.
So now it's like, okay, I'm challenging the click, like people on the Fruity Loops. It's like, I'm challenging, it's like a game. It's like, I gotta be the Fortnite. I gotta be that guy. I gotta beat all the teenagers. You know what I'm saying? I gotta, that's the new, that's the way of music. Music is colors now. First it was all about feel, people playing in the room, and now I'm trying to get this generation with that same kind of vibe, but with the computers. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing that. So it's like, I'm really just beginning because my beginning now is more than just producing, it's teaching the youth of the generation that's about to come. Like, okay, this is what we got to make music with. We come from, playing with everybody. You know how easy we get a person to play, but now it's like kids making sample packs and it's like, okay, well, let's do it together. And so they never been introduced to that. So it's like so for me, I feel like my generation, the one like my 50 year age could be teaching and producing and inspiring the next 9 year old on a computer and seeing the genius in him, you know what I'm saying? It just, so I feel like I'm just beginning, you know? But
based on that, what you're saying, do you think the age of, and this is just hip hop, because it could be in every genre, the age of the super producer is over? Because it was like the super producer, the Swiss, it was you, it was Dre.
That's a good question. I feel like,
and that made careers.
I feel like it ain't over. I feel like it's just a little bit more harder work to do.
It's different now.
It's just like I gotta crack a code. It's like a video game. It's just like I gotta crack some codes because it's, everything is coded now.
But let me ask, the question you're asking is it over for like
super
veteran
producers.
MC, veteran producers?
No, not over for like specifically, like can like there be new, like a new generation
of super producers?
Yeah. Like I feel like I haven't seen that bubble in the last 5 years.
All right. But now, who's the dude that did the Tiger shit? Who's the dude that did the Tiger?
I don't know, but I like, who did Tiger? I don't know.
But you see, the fact that y'all even questioning it, that's,
yeah, but no, he's on fire right now.
But what else he do?
He did the Kodak Black shit.
They could be good producers, but super producers.
I think it go to like, I don't know. Like I look at it like, like a game, man. It's all about styling now. Like your production is like your tag got to feel right. Yeah. Like I get it now. Like I feel like I'm 19. I'm like, because the computer, you can dress your shit up so crazy. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like, well, Metro Boomin wants a ball. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you ain't thinking about this beat. Well, that tag come on, hey, bitch, you already jumping. You know, but who done got the illest tag right now? Take Key, fuck them niggas up. You know what I'm saying? Through that bitch. It's like, it's already set. That's like the whole new way of producing. But I have to figure out how to introduce that shit to make them like, yo, nigga, y'all are artists, nigga, y'all tag. Do you know, like, when you did a London on the track, like, nigga, y'all gotta stand proud with that shit like that. And I feel like that's the way of us really kind of identifying who's that next super producer. And then we gotta say, okay, now you gotta go put that same tag on Ariana Grande. It made me feel like, you know what I'm saying? And that's where the trick come in. You know what
Justin
I'm saying?
Justin Bieber.
Yeah, do that. Yeah. So it's like, it just takes somebody like a a coach, which it should be me or Pharrell or Kanye. It's like, all right, now Murder, do this. Like, Murder on a beat. It's like he picked the right tone for when the 808 drop. It just feels right. So it's like you don't go by and be like, it's a different way of judging producing. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can kind of like package your shit so cool. You know what I'm saying?
Who was the first producer that reached out to you other than your camp? Because you know you had worked inside the camp. You had the Genuine, you had the Aaliyah. Who was the first person that outside your camp that was huge? And she was like, get the fuck out of here.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z?
What? Oh, I thought you were going to say Michael Jackson. I said Jay-Z at a party. He was like, yo, I want to work with you. And the first song we did was Jigga What? And I did this beat. Mm-hmm. And he was like, nah, that ain't it. So he spit the rap in his motherfucker want to act local. I said, oh. So I put my headphones on and I said, he's like, you done? See, back then, there wasn't no clicking. You know, wasn't no computer. It was me actually playing, feeling it. So I was playing it and then he was like, you done? I was like, yeah, it's 5 minutes. You know, that was because, you know, it's a keyboard. So you like, there ain't no way you done. So he's walking around spinning around. I played it. He did his rap. It's like I heard his cadence and I made that beat to bounce to what I heard. So I have a photographic memory when it comes to sounds and sonics and melodies. That's only that. So with music, I can kind of memorize anything. And that was the first thing. He was like the first. And I was like, he kind of introduced me. His tone when he did that made me step my game up because I'm like, whoa. Because it was me, Missy, all of us. So that was the first person from the outside. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And what Jay-Z is this now? Is this throwback Jay-Z? He went Giants jerseys? What's Jay-Z?
I think that was okay. Big Pimpin'.
Well, before Big Pimpin'.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wait, okay, but I got a whole Jay-Z section, so like this is why I'm trying to get off this question.
So segue into it.
All right, no, I'm just trying to figure out which Jay. We'll come back to that.
That was the prime.
Okay, so when you got this call from Justin Timberlake, right?
He was 15 though, so it's not like, you know what I'm saying,
he was
like
15 years old.
Yeah, it was like 15, so it was like he was 15, and their people reached out. He's like, yo, I like your music, man. And like, he's about like maybe 16, 17 when we did. And then,
because I had heard that Justin had fell out with Pharrell or some shit like that.
Think nobody never falls out. I just think that.
Or Jive Records. It was some shit.
I just think that, you know, in life, you know, as we go back and look at it, it's just sometimes misunderstandings or business could be just misconstrued or misinterpreted. So that's all I think that happened on that moment. It wasn't like he wasn't not using for real. We was always working.
And but he was 15, but he was down with
he was NSYNC with NSYNC already. But he was like breaking.
They're huge.
He was breaking.
That was a huge boy.
Damn, man. How old was he when he did that? Then?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, that's for the Mickey Mouse Club.
Jesus Christ. Word. So he's not Justin, you're saying. That's what you're trying to establish the point.
Like, yeah, so it's not like the same, you know, like when we got in the room, when we did Cry Me a River and all those
Cry
records.
Cry Me a River.
Crazy record.
We thought he was black.
I mean, you
fucked us up for a minute. He's like, who is this black dude?
I think, and then we realized that's the dude from
the Mickey Mouse Club. Holy moly.
No. I don't think it was me. I'm not going to take the credit for me introducing. Think y'all think he was black?
Cause he had soul.
No, it was the song they put out with NSYNC. That whatever.
No.
And I was like, who the fuck is this?
Right.
And that's when they got everybody's attention, and it was him.
Right. And because he was like the first, like other than Color Me Bad. Remember Color Me Bad?
Yeah, of course.
I'm gonna set you up. They had like 8 months before we knew.
That was a New Jack City song.
It was like, holy moly.
Yesterday.
These dudes ain't white. This is crazy. And Justin was the new version of that.
I mean, it was evolution, man. Like, music just evolved. It couldn't be just one
dope
thing.
Dope Bars is a dope artist.
Yeah, like, he was dope. And sometimes, you know, God aligned things the way it should be aligned.
What?
You know, and him, we just had, we brothers and we got chemistry.
Right.
We just got chemistry. You know, like, chemistry can only be, how can I say it? Chemistry can only be not, you can tell when a person, if we out of sync.
Right.
Meaning, like, if I got stuff going on in my life, he got stuff going on in my life. We love music, but the music ain't gonna come out right. You get what I'm saying? Because we all, I think when we go in that studio, we be aligned. Like, everything that's on our outside is on the outside.
Right.
And everything, when we see each other, me and Justin see each other, is put our foot on niggas' throats. You know, let's put our foot on their throats. You know, just let's just make this crazy music.
What was your favorite studio session ever?
The studio, flowed. Man. Like, how you asking me this question?
I'm just saying,
what's your favorite studio back then? Like, come on, bro. The Hit Factory. Oh,
the Hit Factory.
Come on, man.
Okay. It was just, right track.
Yeah, it was just a matter of just going to the studio.
Right, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Because people will come in.
What was that studio you had in Virginia? Mm-hmm. And all of y'all
were Master Sound?
I think so. Yep. All of y'all, I'll be in there like, yo, what the fuck? Everybody would be in there, like in Virginia.
But that's the point. So you can't say back then. Right. Our studio sessions meant something.
Right.
Because they was adventurous. Like, right. You don't know. Right. You know what I'm saying? You know, it was wild, man. Our studio sessions was crazy. You know, back then it was like studio. It wasn't like, what's a favorite studio session? It was more like, we going to the studio.
Right.
And like, and people were studio hop like it was a club. Like, I remember just to go to, what's the studio Jay had, and Beanie was all there.
Baseline.
Everybody go, like, it'd be packed. It, like, that was the whole thing.
Hit Factory was like that, too.
Yeah, 54. Hit Factory was great.
Hit Factory all in Manhattan.
I'm talking about Miami.
Yeah, it was Criteria. It wasn't Hit Factory back then.
Criteria.
It did. It had Sony on 66 Street.
Up the block.
Yep. It's crazy. That's what Rough Riders had. They whole
set. You ever made a beat for somebody and they didn't do exactly what you wanted them to do and you was disappointed in the record? Is it Shot Time Timberland? I feel like it's Shot Time.
You know what? That's how I was making a beat that I never met, that I like. I don't know, because the beat wasn't letting them make something crazy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, the beat won't let you make something crazy. Like, it's going to tell you, like, you just stand. Because my beats are disruptive. My beats are like, it's uncomfortable. That's what I heard somebody tell me, your beats when you first heard it, I don't know how to bob. Somebody told me, like, I'm it's so crazy, like, it's a bob, but it's just throwing me off. So back then, it's like, it was a new bounce, so people was trying to find a new bounce, so it won't, the track will let you know that you lost.
I'll tell you one artist that you brung the sound out of them. In such a remarkable way. I had never seen this. I was a big fan of this artist. His name was Pastor Troy. And Pastor Troy had this big underground following. People from New York wouldn't know it, because people from New York wouldn't travel outside. I had these beats. I would rhyme on Down South beats, so I would get Down South shows, and I didn't know why. And it was this artist called Pastor Troy. And he would come out and he'd be like, y'all ain't got nothing to say. You ain't got play with you yet. We ready. We. And he would perform this song 17 times and not one person would say, you did that already. Like, he was just ill. And then when you did that record with him, it was like, it was the first time any producer, like, even tried to give him a worldwide sound. Did you feel like that? Because that was like, to me, that was his illest record he ever made.
I just did me,
man. What even made you want to work with him? Because he was super, super underground at the time.
Because I'm super, from the super South. Light.
That's what I'm about to say. That, like, I felt like you guys were from the South.
See, that's the problem. Like, you know,
well, I mean, Virginia is the South.
I didn't know if I was lit. Like, the world kind of let me know. You know what I'm saying? But I'm still from the South. So it's like, I was attracted to all things with different flows.
Bubba Sparks, you killed it with the
Bubba Sparks. Like, Bubba Sparks was the first group that shocked me, that me and Missy was Crucial Conflict.
Crucial Conflict,
That's Chicago, right?
Yeah, okay. See, like, we loved all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pastor Troy is right up my alley.
Mm.
Right up my alley, anyway.
Why you never signed him?
I don't know. I think he was already signed. Like, back then, I won't think about no business. I just love the music, man. You know. But he was dope. We made good records. We made that good record. We made another record too, but I don't think we could.
What's going on, Drink Champs Army? There's nothing better about the holiday season than unwrapping a brand new phone, right? Until you get hit with your brand new monthly bill. Big wireless providers can really suck the joy out of the holidays. So this year, don't just upgrade your phone. Upgrade your wireless provider and switch to Mint Mobile. For a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering the best holiday deal in wireless you've ever seen. 3 months of service for only $20. That's right, 3 months of service for only $20. Mint Mobile's holiday deal is only here for a limited time. $20 total gets you 3 months of wireless service with 5 gigabytes of 4G LTE data each month, plus unlimited talk and text. So you're not, where are you going wrong? You use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan. You can keep your old phone number along with your existing contacts. Mint Mobile runs on the nation's fastest, most advanced LTE network. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile now. Take advantage of this Mint Mobile holiday deal before it's gone. Get 3 months of wireless for $20 and get the plan shipped to your door for free by going to mintmobile.com/drink. That's mintmobile.com/DRINK. That's 3 months of service for just $20 at mintmobile.com/drink.
But we cutting was hard.
We cut.
That was hard. That was hard. I did my own unofficial remix to it and everything. I ain't care if y'all co-signed it or not.
But you did it on my mixtape too.
Yeah, I did it on my mixtape. Yeah. I loved the beat so much. I was like, fuck it. I did like 4 different freestyles to this
wow.
shit. So, okay. We're going to get a little deep right now. Your relationship with... So your relationship with Scott Storch.
Scotty?
Yes.
That's my boy.
Because it was your boy, but at one point, it got a little shaky.
I mean, Nori, come on.
I mean, you know.
In our 20s.
Right.
And when I look at... See, because I look at music today, I look at, you know, who I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's just called ego.
Smoke blunts.
Yeah. Okay, that's just cool. called... Nah, it's blunts, but...
All right, cool. Fuck it. This is 90 conversation. You know, we're going to put on a pair of free lies later, too. Come on, fuck it. Come on, let's make some noise. Yeah. So,
we just young. You know what I'm saying? We were just young. That's ego.
Was it competition or was it like brothers?
I mean,
brothers?
Of course it's brothers, right. But it was competition. But it's like, you got... And I realized that you got to do that. You have to do that to really, like... Say if me and you, right. I have to get into a zone like that to challenge you.
Right.
Else I'm not. I'm like, damn, that's my homeboy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? How I supposed to do that? That's my big. You know what I'm saying? So when I look back at it now, I'm like, that's why I don't do that battling right. and beef, because I can't mentally psych myself out when right. I know I'm gonna go back and be like, yo, man, why we was right. crazy? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like right. that takes a lot out of somebody. So I think right. back then we just being young,
right?
Because we worked together. Way in past them, yeah.
Right. But so what do you think things like that happen in the hip hop game? Because I remember y'all was brothers at first, correct? Started out as brothers.
I just think maybe, you know, maybe I got jealous. I don't think I got jealous. I think it was the entourage telling, oh, I heard, right. and I'm already probably like, everybody going to Scott Storch, you know what I'm saying? Right. That's a part of jealousy.
I remember seeing the studio in the Hit Factory, if I'm not correct, and you having your tour bus to the left, and Scott having his...
Scott was on fire at one point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was on fire.
I just don't remember you never not being on fire. That's the reason why.
Like, no, it's always a moment when you're not on fire.
Oh, wow.
Like, as you do it. Okay. Because what happens, and I can tell you the prime example, because when Scott was on fire, it was artists in my session, and when Scott pulled up, they left to go to his session.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of like a notification to let you know, like, wow. It's like... That new chocolate ball, that new whatever, that new. Right. It's like that new refrigerator, but it's like, and then it kind of makes you mad, because then when you like remind people, like, don't come over here now, I told you. Right. You know what I'm saying? So you have to realize that that's just humans.
Right.
Humans, we're going to always flock to
right.
what others say is right. great and kind of throw us off balance. And what I've learned is, you know, you got to stay true to who you are. You know what I'm saying? And don't let that, you know, throw me off, you know, throw you off your game, because, you know, it's always going to be the next man on the block, the next person on the block. You know, you can't run things and be the guy that everybody go to. It's always a new sound. And what happens is, when everybody go to you, you thinking you the only one. Mm. And that's what got in my head. And when Scott, I'm like, well, he came up onto me. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, those are things, that's the other man running in my head. So that gave me the competitive spirit, but to say, but then that was just in my head. What kind of took it over the top is the entourage. Oh, this person said, oh, Scott, yeah, he said this. Right. So, what, you know, it kind of fed the ego to, like, I'm a real producer, you just a piano man. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of led to that.
Right.
You know, because I already had that other demon in my head about, you know, what. It's all you need is that push over the edge to make you be like, oh, that's it. Right. But you really don't. We're young, so I'm not trying to research and be like, wait a minute, this is my man. Like, right. I might be tripping over here. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me go get some. Well, I'm listening to somebody else. He say, she say.
Right.
Like, I ain't get to the game to listen to he say, she say.
But what's the history there, though? Because I didn't even know that he came up under you, in a sense. Like, I know he used to mess with the Roots and all that. Mm-hmm.
I met him like Dr. Dre, kind of like introduced.
I'm about to say Dr. Dre is the big homie.
Yeah, he's like Jedi, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. So, you know.
And were people tapping into him for him to be on the keys?
He was dope.
Right.
Scott got a rhythm. Dope. He's Scott crazy. Got a rhythm that nobody don't have.
Right.
Scott know how to attack a beat totally different from anybody else know how to attack a beat.
Right.
His soul and his body, he would go down. When I watched the Quincy Jones special, he is one of those white guys that's going to go down as one of the old dudes. And I'm like, wow. Right. Because Quincy had a lot of white dudes that were some bad white dudes. Ron Templeton, he was one of the illest.
Right.
And so when you look at Scott Storch, he's going to go down as one of the illest. And so that's just a matter of ego getting into play. But we really didn't have no beef.
Yeah, I knew that. But was one of the things that fixed our relationship was seeing how bad he went as far as the drugs go. And, you know, he's been on here. He's talked about it on here on his very show. So it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. I know the drug, but, like, he was living life. So I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking, like, why they going to Scott Storch? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I ain't thinking about what he's doing.
They fixed the relationship. Like, after
I think just because of who I am as a person and who he is, that's not us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All we did is a matter of just talking. And all we did is just talk. And we was cool.
Right. So now, speaking of Scott. So one thing I always see about you is you always give Dr. Dre his props. Like, no matter what, I'm talking about at the height of, you know.
Man, ain't nobody better than Dr. Dre, man.
And that's what you think? You think that's man, I can look in your face and can tell you mean that. Like I can tell.
But on a producer level, what is it exactly?
People be trying to be. I'd be like, hey, Doc, don't you do it. That's like you can't put.
Like, you battle Switch. You put
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
But there's different levels of why Dre is dope.
I'm still trying to. I just know he's just super dope. And certain things. I still be studying.
Let's make some noise for that.
I'm just trying to be like, damn, how you get that kick to sound like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, man, like, he still amazed me. And he do it so, and it's like, we are alike in a lot of ways. Like, we like to be home. You know what I'm saying? And listen to music. We don't go out. It's like, he's just like, he the best. Like, I think people with similar personalities be attracted and be more amused by someone like themselves.
So the first day you met Dr. Dre, first time you met Dr. Dre, let's take it from there. Yo, Mr. Lee, pop that bar. First day. And describe the situation, like how does happen?
You know what, I can't
he
even say.
He called you or you called him?
I don't even know. I just thank God that he invited me into his presence. Mm.
Because you were in Interscope 2 at the time.
Yeah, but see, here go being young, and then it's like, I can't even talk about then because I didn't know how to digest it then.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And now when I look back at it, I'm like, yo, I was kicking it with Dr. Dre. You know what I'm saying? You don't really, you don't realize, cause you like, I made it. Right. So you ain't looking like, you know, I'm right here with you. I'm in the president's seat too. So you know what I'm saying? You don't, you're not looking at it like, but I still was amazed. Like, I just didn't know how to take it in. Now I know how to take it in. And I can give you what I felt, what I thought I felt back then. And what I thought I felt back then was, this is motherfucking Dr. Dre.
This is Dr. Dre.
Like, Dr. Dre is my Quincy Jones. Well, like, cause when I talk Quincy Jones, I always say, people just be like, man, like, Jay, like, be that Quincy Jones. And I get why Jay said, you know, produce for me and B, make us, you know, give us that, you know, give
us. Oh, that's what Jay's saying to
like,
you.
Like, Jay, like, be the young Quincy. Like, he should try to preach that to me all the time.
Right.
And being a young Quincy is making smart moves. Like, when you got a beautiful record, you got to know where to place that beautiful record. Not be stubborn and caught in your ways and be like, oh, that's my record. You got to, when Quincy Jones know how to place beautiful music with beautiful people. And Dr. Dre was the god of rap. I hate to say that. I know New York. I know.
No.
He, when he touched rap, he made rap sound.
He changed the whole landscape of hip hop.
He made it sound so clean. Yeah. He like,
he actually mixed.
Yeah, and it's like, in New York, it was like, people was like, and, he, and you know what? He did not brag about it. He did not talk about it. Other people talked. So to hear a word from Dr. Dre, people were like, oh, he's about to speak. Right. And that's how I was. Right. Because I want to know, like, yo, how you mix that drum? How you get the drum sound?
So
you
obviously he's a fan of N.W.A. All
right, yeah, that goes without saying.
So now, look, now look. And on N.W.A., there's a line where Eazy-E says, "Ice Cube writes the rhymes that I say, point blank, straight out, frivolously says it, admits to it."
So what?
That was then. Nowadays, people is screwed. I don't know if that's a right word.
Misconstrued.
They flipped on Drake for the same exact thing. And here's one of the greatest groups of all time. What is the difference between that, Timbaland, being a hip hop? Oh,
okay, so you asking me the Lucian Fox, the one you asking Lucian Fox, aka Timbaland, aka Lucian Fox. So you asking the guy who provides these superstars with their superpowers, or, you know, because I'm a beatmaker.
We've heard that.
So
okay,
I think Drake told you I'm resilient for real. Right. People need to really look up what that word resilient means.
I don't know what that means, sir.
Me, and I really don't either. So I started looking up. So
come on, guys.
But that word sounds so brilliant. So I looked it up. And I can't. So,
what does resilient mean?
I mean that he could withstand anything, basically.
Oh, okay.
I'm resilient. So that's how I took it. So when I said, wow. When I looked it up, it said that and more.
Right.
So when you look at Drake, he's like, you know, okay, he's like Black Panther.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Elaborate, please.
How did Black Panther come in the world? It was a shock, right? Did it shock you by storm? What did it do? A billion?
Oh, the actual movie.
Like the movie.
Oh, we thought it was like a movie.
Okay, listen to the character. The character. He's like a new character. Mm. He's like the, okay, what I'm trying to say, he's like the equivalent to Black Panther.
Right.
Mm. He came in out of nowhere.
Mm.
And.
But you worked with him early.
Exactly.
Very early.
Very early. So he was already in the build to where he was about to be. So what so you asked me the question of why they trip it, because he's the next biggest thing.
Right.
How many times they trip on Jay-Z? It's just the topic of ghostwriting and all that. But music is music.
Right.
Why do, I don't know. Like, I guess I'm not a rapper, and I tell people I can't really, I look at rappers like Avengers or movie characters, like who's the next character? He to me is like the next Black Panther. That's why I say Black Panther. You don't know why I'm going with it.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. Like he came in like Black Panther. Like people gonna try to pick apart, or he ain't do this, or why he got the necklace. So it's like he's that new character. You know what I'm saying? And He's great at what he do. He do it with so much class, so much pride. I mean, you know.
But when I say you worked with him early on, you worked with him really, like really early. Like mixtape. Like,
I mean,
how did you know? How does a producer like you even know?
Oh, that's not all me. That's
you listening
people
to
around
your,
you.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you. That's being around great Jedis. Mm. And then that Jedi, the other Jedi was Jay-Z. Jay-Z know. He knows.
Because what record y'all did together, you and Jay, Off That? Was that the first record you and Drake did?
But he knew.
Was that the first record though? Yep. Off That? I'm on point. Am I on point? I like when I'm on point. Come on, y'all can make noise to me. God damn it. I'm getting hyped now. Come on.
He just shot that. And
Tiger Bone?
I'm in.
I don't know about the rest, but I just know that Jay-Z knew he was the next one. Just like he called 50 Cent.
Wait. Okay.
To meet JJ Carl.
This is a lot you're giving us right now, Tim. Let's stay on Drake for now. Then we're going to go back to 50 Cent. Can you please remind us to go back?
Okay.
So what did he say?
He said this young boy.
The kid from Canada.
He's like this young boy. This boy that.
And it's early. It's not like it's already
out.
You
got to think about
it. He's catching it
early. When I go back and listen to him, Jay-Z's one of the. He's a genius to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The way Jay articulate things, the way he talks, the way he strategize life, the way he move.
Even his braids now.
You know what I'm saying? Everything. I mean, I just know.
He got twists now.
I love it.
He look like a black Einstein. Let's make some noise for that.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Come on. Jay-Z out here look like a black Einstein, goddammit.
He just look like he look like the culture.
That's what he look like Jimi Hendrix and black
Einstein. He comes from his own skin.
I take that. He's Jimi Hendrix. Yep. And he's music. He's like an Einstein to music.
That's what I said, baby.
And he's so brilliant. And it's like he know somebody else. He know. He's a separate alien. Jay-Z's a separate. He knows who fit in his alien group.
But let's take it.
And when he heard Drake,
he said Off That.
He probably said, nah, bump Off That. He heard Drake before. He like, he's special. Mm. I mean, come on. He got J. Cole.
Yeah. Mm. Which is crazy because for him to have seen that, he saw that super early.
Okay.
Too.
With like J. Cole. He knows smart people.
It felt like it took a minute for J. Cole to really become
smart,
who he knows
smart people.
Yeah. And Kanye.
Like, yeah. But that's why when I go to Jay, I play him somebody that's smart. And like, I know he, because when he listens, I guess he know how they are as a person when he hear them rap.
Mm.
I feel like, I try to say, how you know this person is going to be big? I guess when you hear the rap, you can hear who that person is in their rap. You know what I'm saying? But then today's rap, you'll be shocked because you'll find somebody doing something that you might like. No, this boy is crazy. But then you go to talk to him, he's one of the smartest kids. Right. And you'd be like, wow, music has definitely did a flip-flop. But he is the leader of this generation.
Drake.
Talking
about Drake.
He is like the leader.
Right.
He can go, like, he's the OG, like, to the kids. Like, he is that guy.
Big up my man 40. Big up Drake.
Yeah.
God damn it. Big up my Canada niggas. Big up, what's my other nigga name?
Belly. I think I asked Mr. Lee.
Belly. No, the other dude for this down with
Belly
the OVO. I know Belly. Well, Chubbs. Big them up, man. I love to see OGs, bro. Especially the OG / veterans giving. This is a tradition for the show. It's just
it's herbal.
It's
herbal tea.
Yeah, it's herbal.
It's herbal.
It's a tradition
something.
For the show. Listen, I don't know if you know. Hold on. We do it together.
Don't take a sip. It's not gonna work out.
Listen,
it's not gonna work out.
I don't know if you know other hip hop shows. Listen, at our hip hop show, we celebrate our legends. We give them their flowers where they can smell them. We give them their thoughts where they can tell them. We give them their drinks where they can dig them. And they drinks where they can dig them. Solo, goddammit. Let's go. That is definitely different, Timberland. I'm sorry.
I hate it every time.
Y'all gave me some ginseng.
That's what it is.
I gotta give him a ginseng.
Ginseng aged for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, ginseng and champagne.
Yeah, ginseng and champagne.
You automatically a kung fu master after drinking this shit.
It's a terrible combination.
Let's say Hong Yong Cheng.
So, Genuine's first album.
Genuine's not on, correct? These people come to you and says, I need to understand how this went down.
Let me break this down.
Okay.
I'm back then, I am young. I am enjoying the moment. I don't know shit about why and what. I just know we had a run. Let's keep it running. And I, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I know what I know now, I would have been like, wait a minute. We got something, y'all. We got to focus because we got it by people talking about it. But we were so glad to be. It was like, it's almost like slavery, dude. Like Commonwealth. We were from Virginia. To be accepted was the biggest thing, and to not, you know, you could be accepted and then be thrown back into the bushes. Mm. So we was trying to stay afloat. We weren't thinking like this sound. We just know we had a sound that was different, and we knew that people, it would make people uncomfortable, but you would enjoy it later. That's what we know.
That's what Jeff went in to do Genuine
on? Yeah. When we went to Genuine, just, we had a sound back in Rochester. We were with Devontae. We all had a sound. We was a crew. We had a sound. So
it's about Jodeci,
Devontae? Yeah. Yeah.
How did that? Well, let's think on Genuine first.
Well, he came from that.
So Genuine, but he's from Virginia too. Is Jodeci from Virginia?
He's from D.C.
Oh,
Southeast.
Shit.
But it's all close. It's right there.
Yes, it's next state. It's New Jersey, New York.
It's pretty close.
South, you don't do that.
I thought that's North New Jersey.
Don't disrespect Southeast D.C. with Virginia Beach.
So it's not safe to say Baltimore as well? Throw it all in the pot?
Don't do that. You're going to say Baltimore or D.C. It's going to be, it's we Baltimore. We be more, we D.C. It just, it's no B, but it's just like, don't put, to, you know.
So
you ain't gonna say Brooklyn and Queens. You gonna say no, we Brooklyn.
Right.
Well, if I'm from Miami, I'm gonna say it's like New York.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
No.
I will.
You gonna say no? Liberty City is Liberty City.
No.
Overtown.
You can't
Overtown.
Tell me that in Miami. Right. That's, I'm gonna divide it up from Miami.
Exactly right. What my point. So like, that's what I'm saying. Like UK back then, man, it's like. Mm-mm.
But everybody would listen to Go-Go in those areas.
I guess Go-Go. Yeah, Go-Go was popular.
So that connected all y'all.
Right.
Because we don't have, in Miami, we don't listen to Go-Go.
So now where Jodeci was from?
North Carolina.
North Carolina? How the hell Jodeci Devontae? How did y'all hook
Missy was in a group called Faze E. And wow. Missy, I was the producer for Faze E. So Missy met Devontae and them backstage. You know, like, it's this. The luck of a draw. She met them. She played the music.
Right.
Devontae flew them up to Jersey. Missy said she wanted to fly the producer up. He said, cool. I came up there and I stayed up there. Developed my sound.
That's a slow clap out there. So you working with Devontae. Working with them. And they introduced you to Genuine?
Yep, because he met Genuine the same way through a concert. So Devontae actually built my crew. Think about it. I had Static before Static died. Static Major, who wrote Lollipop for Lil Wayne. He wrote Try Again. So Devontae really kind of like, it's funny how God worked, because Devontae built a crew for himself, but it was actually for me.
Wow.
When you think about it, because he didn't work with none of them. It was me.
Wow.
But he found all the talent for me.
So he found, who was the talent?
Yeah. Genuine.
Genuine.
Static.
Static Major.
Missy.
Wow.
Yeah. That's enough.
Wow. God damn.
Shit, that's more than enough.
So how did this happen? I need to understand.
I don't know, man. I just told you in one nutshell. Like, right. I was the guy under the Missy. Missy brought me in. Like, you do. Like, y'all gotta do the math. Like that. Yeah. It's the universe, man. How it's meant to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could be on this show, and from this show, 1,000 producers called me, or this person called me.
It's a chain
it's
reaction.
Inhibition, it man. It's like, it's what it is. And that's what, and Devontae brought somebody. He built something and which was supposed to probably be for him, I wind up doing all the records for them.
So what was, how was it like working with Ginuwine? Because you didn't know him. He wasn't like from Virginia, like working with Missy. I always thought
kids.
He was. Right.
We are, it's a, so he put from, he put us together. You know what I'm saying? Devontae is building a squad for himself, but he actually built it for me. Mm. I'm the guy who's doing 100 beats a night. Mm. So they're coming in the studio doing it with me.
He said 100 beats a night. Hold up a second. He said 100 beats a night.
Yeah. I'm in the studio, bro. I'm from Virginia. I ain't got no studio. This is new to me. I'm having a ball. And I got a car, too. Yeah, I'm having a ball. So I'm knocking beats out. They in there with me. Mm-hmm. I'm building. Right. I'm creating the sound. Mm. There you have it.
And did Ginuwine have S-curls back then?
Or no? I don't know if S-curls was in. I think they had aggravated to make the hair curls.
No, because I'm trying to picture the studio scenery.
You're trying to picture
Yeah, I'm trying to picture, like, did he have S-curls or did he
have... I don't know, man. I wanted to introduce the videos. I was like, yo, I just wanted to make a record and give my mama $3,000. I ain't know about nothing about no videos. When that stuff came out, I was fond to it. Like, oh man, people like your record. Oh, for real? Oh, okay. I'm a country boy. I'm like, dude, you know, with the head on. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's dope.
Okay. Y'all made some crazy records.
Okay. Now, you just did a battle with Swiss Beats.
We didn't do the battle yet.
But it was somewhat of a battle.
No, at Summer Jam. It's called Instagram Talk.
What would you call what happened?
Called IG Talk.
That was IG.
And that was a derivative of Drink Champs?
Oh, yeah, that started on this. Yeah, that started here. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, that's good.
It did start here. It's in the same fucking place, too.
That whole thing, this whole started, thing started in Drink Champs.
Well, maybe it should begin here.
That's what I'm saying.
It didn't start.
I felt like when I seen the actual battle, I felt like it was unfair, even though I'm from New York. I felt like it was unfair because, you know, he was playing a lot of New York records with New York artists. Because this was Summer Jam, correct? So how did you feel about that?
I thought
you had fun. You was out there having fun. But.
Yeah, that's all I thought was. I mean, we played a lot of, we couldn't. I think it was, me and Swiss look at it like this. It's not a battle, it's a reminder.
That's dope. Dope.
Don't ever forget who we are.
Right. Mm.
In Swiss Beats. Like, when people might have doubted, oh, he ain't got nothing, or people might say, oh, Timbo got this. Oh, no. I'm on stage with my friend.
Right.
He's my friend.
Right.
We have just as much accolades.
Right.
It's just, it's me. So when we play songs back to back, it gave people a reminder. I don't think people knew how to judge it. It won't no judge. And people were like, damn, we played that Beyonce after. Yeah, he did that Beyonce. It was more of a reminder. Do not play with the Game of Thrones. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could go all night. And it's like people don't realize the history that we have.
Would you do that with Pharrell?
That's my brother, of course. Being from, we can't wait to play records because to us it's like, man, remember my brother did this. It could never be a battle.
Right.
The battle will be.
Well, people will always judge it as a battle.
But that's cool.
But what you do with Dr. Dre?
No,
that was my last question.
Would I do with Dr. Dre?
I knew he was going
to
say it because
he have to set up the summons for all of us at the table and say, "You go against him. You go against him."
He's Gandalf.
He'll see what's that movie? What's the Warlocks? And he'll be like, "Ooh, I can't put the spell out." Like, you know, say he's that.
I love
guy.
The respect he shows Dr. Dre. I really do.
But it wouldn't be a battle. It would be fun. It would be chess. It's like pawn, like chess. Like we playing songs. It's like. Checkmate.
Besides Dr. Dre, if you was to go head to head with anybody else in this game, would you ever be worried? Like, besides Dre, not Dre.
Worried.
Like song for song.
I don't. Okay, so it's two different.
I'm talking about the whole legacy, man. I'm talking about, let's say Teddy Riley. Let's say not.
Because you're saying
Quincy
track
Jones.
For track.
Yeah, track for track. The whole legacy.
You know what?
I think
it's healthy for all of us to do that. You know why? Because it really lets you know how far you really come and how, you know, it lets you know the beginning of your journey.
Right.
And where it's really like a self moment thing where you'd be like, I quit. Then you'd be like, damn, my shit was, I thought my shit was this long and it won't that long. It's kind of like a reflection of who you are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like when I when we play our music and our hits, it'd be like, damn, why I stop here? You know, that's how I look at it. Somebody might look at it different. I look at it like, that was it. That was what, 2015? I'm not even listening to the other dude this, that they play around. Like, 2015? Oh, man, I got to pick it up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it. It's like, the journey must continue. Mm. You know? It's like, look how far we came and see if we still relevant.
Right. Now, how about working with Lil Wayne? Lil Wayne right now has...
Caught a fly.
Caught a fly. I'm going to be honest. I've never seen somebody take off this long, come back, and his fans stay right there. Like, they were right there, like, ready to line up and just... Like, I've never seen a person... Like, you know, in this game, you take 2.5 years off, Jose Canseco is in your fucking batting spot.
I mean, you talking about Young Money.
Yeah, I know that.
You talking about Nicki Minaj.
But
Drake.
Even Eminem, let's look. Even Eminem, like,
Drake. What was it? I'm going to go back here.
Revival?
Dr. Dre.
They didn't fuck with Revival. Can't put a record Kamikaze, out. They came back and
fucked
with.
You're not hearing me.
I'm definitely not. I'm sorry.
Dr. Dre
can
put a record out right now.
Right.
And people going to go crazy. Certainly, it's going to be his fan base because of what he left. Like, Lil Wayne left a mark.
Right.
I just think Lil Wayne's Lil Wayne. Then he got. Then he signed the next person in this generation to be like him, which is Drake or Nicki Minaj. Like those, he got two heavy hitters that keep him alive. Like it's not about him rapping. Sometimes it's about the decisions he made.
Wow! Wow!
Like you know, look what he told. Look, I'm telling you, I'm great. He's great.
Wow!
She's great.
Right.
And y'all paid attention. So it kept you, it kept Wayne on your mind.
Right.
When he didn't do nothing.
Right.
I mean, he blessed, man. He got a gift. Wayne got a, he can rap.
Right. Now, I wanted to say this to the very end, and then I'm gonna get into my whole questions and then we're gonna wrap it up. But so how did you initially meet Aaliyah? Because I know we spoke about her in the beginning. Like, how was
my lawyer, Louise West. At the time, my lawyer was Louise West. She introduced the families to each other.
Right.
Which was Aaliyah's family with, you know, Uncle Mike, rest in peace. He passed away.
God bless.
That was the introduction. It was Louise West.
Mm-hmm. How was
and Craig Kallman.
Craig Kallman, wow. Yep. You met Aaliyah
Craig Yeah, Craig. It was Louise West and Craig Kallman. Craig Kallman played,
was with Atlantic at the time?
Yep.
God damn it.
Craig is the man. Craig know music, man. He gonna find a way to dig himself up. He gonna know now. He gonna figure out what's hot now.
Right.
He was a DJ. He was a serious DJ.
Right.
So, Craig got, he got good ears, man. Mm. He got great ears. Mm. And Craig had, I had a sound. He introduced us, made the link, but it was Louise that gave Craig the demo of me and Missy to play for Aaliyah, that Aaliyah liked.
And then the sessions, and she's from?
Detroit.
Detroit. And y'all linked in Virginia?
Detroit.
Oh, y'all linked in Detroit.
Yeah.
And your first session, what was?
My first session, we did records. But then out of that first session came One in a Million. Mm. And then the second session came If Your Girl Only Knew.
Wow. First and second session.
The first session came One in a Million.
Which is crazy
class. Meaning that wasn't the first song in the first session.
Right, in the session.
Meaning like before we left, we did One in a Million.
Okay.
So we did other songs prior to it. It wasn't like that. It was like, I'm not trying to make myself like no superhero. Like, I just, the first song I did was One in a Million. That was after.
You don't think that's enough? Just in the first session, you made One in a Million? That's enough by itself.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Then the second one was if your girl ain't new.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Now, you got like a triple album with Jay-Z. Look, so when I do interviews, we pull up everything. So, you got the list? I'm going to just name out some certain songs. You just tell me these certain sessions with you and Jay, right? Dirt of Your Shoulders is one of them.
You can watch that on the Black album, man. Come on, man.
Nah, nigga. We need.
I told you in the movie.
No, this is on millennials. This is for new millennials right now. We got a new whole new audience.
But you can see it on the Black album.
Yeah,
Black,
you know, fuck them. We want them to see it on here. Okay. So, Dirt of Your Shoulders, how did this come about?
Just like all that thing. It's no different.
I mean, but let's most these 14-year-olds who listen to us who don't listen to these motherfuckers who don't.
It's on the movie. I'm gonna tell you the same thing in the movie. Like I walked, he came down. It was the exact thing. I had the beat. I knew that beat was fire, and there it was. Mm. And the beauty about that was the first time he captured the moment that can't be explained on film.
Which is,
and there's no, you can watch it on film. I don't, every time I watch it,
stupid fans, Timbaland, we got these, stupid look, fans. You don't explain have to these fans. People. Yes, we got dumb fans, brother.
Fade the black. It's on the movie. If you want to catch
Jay-Z's
them.
First album was 444 on our fans. They're kind of slow, our fans. They're
come
slow.
On, man.
I'm just playing. Go ahead, continue.
Well, they don't think that's his first album.
No, I'm just playing. No,
they don't.
But Fade to Black, that movie kind of, he captured it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it was the perfect time. I said, look, when people ask me to do our show, I said, watch Fade. They don't even ask me about it. They said, man, when I watched Fade to Black, man, we went to our show. I said, Dave, thank you. Because I ain't got to explain it. It's on camera.
Right.
Everything is caught on camera, and people want to know more. It's like, it's no more.
Okay, then how about Big Pimpin'? UGK, because at this time UGK definitely not known in the New York area.
No,
maybe
changed.
In the Virginia. Okay. Yeah. Okay,
this is gonna be real short and simple.
Go ahead, cool.
That was a track I was saving for Tim and Magoo. Me being sharp as a, because I'm thinking I'm very
you
sharp.
You doing your Quincy Jones shit?
I was on my sharpness, right? And I was like, this shit bigger than me. This shit bigger than you. This shit was bigger than me. I told him while he's walking, he was about to leave studio. I told him, hey man, I got this beat I want to play. I don't want to play it for you, but.
Ain't talking to Magoo? Or you talking
no, I'm telling Jay before he leaves the studio.
Okay.
I'm like, I don't want to play this beat for you, but I know it's for you, so I'm going to play it. So I play it. He take off his jacket, hip hop, take off their jacket, like, oh my God. Jay face lit up, and hip hop with his gun, he said, Big Pimp, and Luke said, we on to something. And Jay said, I see you tomorrow.
Was it automatic that UGK would be on that record or not?
No,
you don't know
no.
that at that point.
That track, Jay took time with that track.
Okay.
He didn't do this like how Jay-Z do it. This was, he took his time with that record. And you can tell. Because look at what it sold. We even got sued over this shit.
How did that lawsuit end up? Just on production tip. Like if
well,
producers listen.
You know, I don't like to brag, but you know, like that, you know. We walked out of there, you know.
He was clean. Good. Y'all.
I just leave it at that.
Y'all was good. Y'all was
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it was good. That. But, you know what I'm saying, because it was I just think the energy of the song was not done in the malice way. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like we was trying to get over. I paid. You know what I'm saying?
The sample. Which
yeah,
is the
I paid.
The,
like, I paid.
The
like
Indian
the,
artist,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I paid. So, that's how I paid whatever that $200,000. There you go.
And then they try to come back afterwards.
Yeah, you know
oh,
what I'm
so
saying?
That's foul,
it's
yeah.
beauty. The song is beautiful, man. Like, yeah. when something is so beautiful, you know, it's always going to be evil around the corner.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, that song is beautiful. And, you know, it was made out of love. It's like, when Jay-Z did that, I saw the love in his face. The track put a smile on his face. Like, I saw that this was that one for him. You know what I'm saying? I saw, like, this was going to make him think. Like, I know Jay-Z's He's a person who likes to read. If he ever texts you the way he texts, he's very sharp.
It's a
and smart.
He yeah. texts you like a letter.
It's
his
very,
spaces,
it's very,
his spaces in between.
He's very. I'm telling you, man. He's like John Q. I'm telling you.
Now, Holy Grail.
Holy he called me. I was in New York. Dream had the hook already. He wanted me to remake the beat, and I did. I did my part. I did Lucian Fox. He wanted, he called me in to upgrade the equipment. And that's what I just did.
Upgrade the equipment.
God, 2.0, I just put it in 3.0. You know what I'm saying? Lift it up a little bit. Same, you know, same equipment. Dream had, Dream gave me all the tools. She said, this is what you got. I said, all right, let me up, you know, leave a little my hard drive. Whoop, whoop, there it is. And me, not just me by myself, Jerome, J-Rock, he was great. He caught it. He was like my side partner. He was my, you know, not going to say my assistant. I like to say my partner.
Right.
Because at that time, he was my partner. And he, when I needed some assistance on this particular project, I'm good. When he happens, I wanted to, I needed some keys. He knew how to elevate, so he was a great partner at that time.
Okay, now I'm gonna one more stronger than. Is that your bitch?
I think that's the. I had that track, and I gave it to Puff originally. But
you wanna say timeout?
Yeah, timeout. What? Okay, timeout. You said.
I think I gave it to. I believe it was a Puff, but
Puff Daddy. Is that your bitch, Puff Daddy?
I believe. Wow. I think so. But
he turned that down.
He didn't turn it down. I think
he was late on the response.
He didn't get to it.
I think maybe I might have been just playing music, just be playing, and Jay-Z just yelled at me. You know, that was like. But when he did the rap, it's like, oh man, he fit it.
Right. So how did you call Puff and tell him? It's a rap!
Yeah, I mean.
How did you do that? How did that phone go out?
Or did the record just come out?
That was a messy situation. Yeah? Yeah. Because I didn't, that was the first thought, like, oh man, what do I do? You know what I'm saying? But that was me being young and naive and not understanding the ethics of business and jumping the gun, you know.
Right.
And I learned my lesson. Nothing major happened, but just like, I don't like to have confusion in music.
Right.
I don't like to have one person upset with me because I gave another person something that I didn't know they treasured. You know what I'm saying? So it just, business ethics came in. Like, when you do something, you know, have your word and or do it the right way.
Would there be another Timbaland and Magoo project? Because Magoo, that's the only person we ain't talking about. Talked about anybody else.
No, correct? That was like, he's, Magoo is my friend, so it was like it was a fun thing, and it was fun to do.
Because he was like the down south Q-Tip almost.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, he was.
He was like a Q-Tip. Funk Flex told me that today. He was like Q-Tip.
He was my friend. He's my friend.
Did I make Funk Flex voice?
No, he's like
Q-Tip. I'm sorry, I tried to make Funk Flex voice.
That's Melvin.
You sounded like Leo Cohen there.
Sorry, man.
I mean, he's my friend. You know, that was something that we did. That was a dream or a passion of ours, and we did it.
Right.
It wasn't meant to be one or two or three or four. It was something that, like...
Yeah, we're doing for fun.
Yeah, and it happened.
Right.
And we got paid for it.
And the fun was worthwhile at a moment.
I think it was.
Well, Timbaland, we just want you to know we salute our legends. In our game, this every 10 years, these people want to ride you off and they want to say you're over and they want to say fuck you, no matter if you're getting money or not. And in this game, I want to reverse that. I want to change that. I want people to know that, you know, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice, you know what I'm saying? The older you get, the older you loose. And the older, you don't get old because you stop playing. You get old because you stop playing.
I mean, it's a different generation and... We are the OGs, and we've got to figure out how to translate that to the new G's.
Right.
Right. To the new generation. And I understand it now. Mm. It's like, the problem with us, we always criticize so much. Mm. But when we was young, we ain't criticize nothing.
Right.
And when you look at Tekashi 6ix9ine, these people are great, man.
Big them up.
You know, they are great artists. Let them be who they gonna be. Let's watch their journey.
Right.
The same way Quincy Jones watched all the people he produced. And he looked back at it and he was like, man, I produced all these people and they all died. And I'm not saying that about the new generation.
Right, right.
But let's just watch their journey and see what happened.
And hand down that information while we're here. And if they want it, they take it. If they don't want it, that's on them.
Let's have fun, because they make great music to me.
Anything you could have changed if you ever would have started over? Anything you would like to change?
I just should have been more alert when it comes to business and not let the fun get in the way. Mm. It should have been more, you know, just alert on a lot of things. You know, when you're young, we doing, you know what I'm saying? Right.
And You're still young.
Yeah, I'm still young, but I'm saying, I didn't come from that world. So when everything moving fast, I just, you know, should have slowed it down at my pace.
And you in the gym crazy. Where's your trainer? Hook me up, nigga. Your trainer's doing his job, nigga. My trainer's fucking up. Yeah, but for real, you're looking very young. How is that? How is that, you know, getting old and getting into the gym and... What makes you spark and do that? Because I seen a rumor where if people were quitting because they was hanging with Dr. Dre being the engineers, and Dre would make his engineers and his assistant go to the studio, and the people were quitting. I never heard of that. Are you like that,
Tim? You mean go to the gym? You mean?
Yeah, he would make them go to the gym filming and all type of shit.
Because you got to be a machine like we are.
Mm. So your engineer, your assistant, everybody got to do the same shit.
No, I just do. I got my own agenda. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I got a partner. My girl is my partner.
Oh, big up your girl.
And we do everything, man. We like the new Incredibles.
Mm. God damn it. The Incredibles with the red suit?
Yeah.
Long arms. Yeah. Them niggas is all. Give me a high five. Give me a high five, nigga. The Incredibles. So you and your lady is the new Incredibles. That is all.
Cause we do everything together.
That's beautiful. I sent y'all the Jay-Z and Beyonce concert. Y'all was over there, Gucci down, minding y'all business.
She was Gucci down, not me.
Nah, I sent you Gucci down too.
Not me.
Is she here right now?
Yeah.
Okay. No. Girl, you Gucci down. Gucci down.
She's advising down.
I was watching y'all. I was like, oh shit. Nah, y'all was over there.
We do everything. Yeah, we work out in the morning.
It's Club Carter, correct? Nah, it was Club Carter. Yeah. Club Carter.
She worked. Yeah, we do everything together.
Oh, this is so beautiful. Give Tim an aww.
I take the aww.
Yeah, take the aww. Listen, man, I'm married. God damn, you're gonna make some noise for me. I can make noise. I'm married. He's gonna give Tim an aww. Now give me a goddamn marriage clap. Give me a marriage clap. That's beautiful. Listen, you know what? It's beautiful to show hip hop growing up. Because back in the days, in the 90s, we talking about fucking all these bitches. Niggas ain't fucking these bitches right now. Niggas is old men. My knees first is ball, fucked up. I'm gonna be honest.
First of all, you don't want multiple partners because you start. We think too much. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm cool. Like, I'm comfortable.
Listen, Atlantic Records.
Everything fits.
Atlantic Records.
First, she's like a personal. Like
to
everything.
A party today, and I said, "Yo,
no,
you know,
I'm not
I literally
doing that.
Got up. My knees hurting. I said, I'm sorry.
No, I don't hurt. I just don't want to do that.
You know, my shit hurting. I'm 41.
I'm Lucian Fox. Yeah. I feel like me and my girl, we in Incredibles. We can't be seen everywhere.
That's right. Oh, God damn it. I'm going to start using that. Can I take that? I'm like, but I'm going to be honest. Sometimes the older, you know, that's why I love 444. Because 444 actually reflected a grown man.
Yeah, but the kids ain't gonna get that till later. That's why I'm glad it's 444.
But it ain't for the kids, correct?
It's for them. It's the Bible for them.
Mm. They'll get it.
It's the Bible. Mm. And I can leave on that note. Yeah. Jay-Z left the Bible. He left the Book of Eli for this generation. Mm. And that's 444. Yeah.
God damn it. Make some noise, God damn it. God damn it. Thank you so much, Tim.
This was great.
Yeah, thank you
so
much.
Y'all got me drunk before I go to the gym anymore.
No.